These are the weekly security headlines from Daily Tech News Show for the week ending May 29th, 2020. I'm Tom Merritt. Thursday, the President of the United States signed an executive order related to social networks. It orders the U.S. Attorney General to establish a working group to look into whether social networks have violated individual state laws against unfair and deceptive practices, review federal ad spending on social networks in light of their moderation practices regarding government communication, orders the Department of Commerce to petition the FCC to clarify rules regarding the application of CDA Section 230, the safe harbor law that protects companies from liability for content removal, and asks the US FTC to investigate social networks for unfair or deceptive practices regarding their moderation rules compared to how moderation is conducted. The FCC and FTC are independent agencies, not under the direction of the president, and may implement the requests as they see fit. The order itself does not do anything to change CDA Section 230, a law that protects the right of internet companies to moderate content without risking liability. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz sent a letter to the Justice and Treasury Departments in the United States calling for a criminal investigation into Twitter for violating the International Emergency Economic Powers Act by providing social media accounts to Iranians subject to international sanctions. Cruz and three other senators sent a letter to Twitter in February calling for banning these accounts. Twitter responded with a letter in April saying that they are exempt from sanction requirements. Facebook announced it will seek to verify the identity of accounts who have a pattern of inauthentic behavior on Facebook and whose posts start to rapidly go viral in the United States. If verification fails or the user chooses not to verify, distribution of the post will be reduced. These unverified users would also be barred from posting to pages they administer until identified through the existing page publisher authorization process. Google initially rolled out its same-site cookie labeling policy with the release of Chrome 80 in February. That blocked third-party cookies on websites. This was subsequently rolled back in April in order to not break access to essential websites during the escalation of the COVID-19 pandemic. Google now says it will bring back the same-site cookie update on July 14th with the release of Chrome 84, which will be gradually rolled out back to the Chrome 80 release. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich filed a lawsuit against Google, alleging that Android devices recorded and saved location data in apps and search even after users disabled location tracking, and that opting out of all tracking required navigating menus the lawsuit alleges are deceptive. The suit asks for unspecified damages based on money made from personalized ads using this tracking information, and Arizona's anti-fraud laws allow for fines of up to $10,000 per violation. A Google spokesperson said, quote, "We have always built privacy features into our products and provided robust controls for location data. We look forward to setting the record straight." Amnesty International's security labs found a critical vulnerability in the contact tracing app called Etters, used by Qatar, which would have allowed attackers to grab sensitive personal information, including the name, national ID, health status, and location data of more than 1 million users. Etters requested a QR code from a central server from a user's national ID, but did not require authentication, so anyone could have requested a QR code for any user. Amnesty informed the Qatari government of the potential threat on May 21st, and the issue was resolved the next day. Qatar's Etters app was made mandatory last Friday. The Chinese city of Hangzhou has proposed a permanent health tracking system that would give residents a score based on electronic medical records, results of physical examinations, and lifestyle choices like diet and alcohol consumption. The system would use a QR code on a person's phone, which is already being used to determine whether a person can enter a building or take public transportation during the pandemic, based on factors like temperature and travel history. The current health code is run by Alipay, but the company told CNBC it has not been contacted by any party with respect to this project. British Columbia's Supreme Court ruled Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou's extradition proceedings to the United States on charges of fraud may continue. Associate Chief Justice Heather Holmes said Meng's alleged crimes would also constitute a crime in Canada that satisfies a principle known as double criminality. Meng is accused by U.S. authorities of bank and wire fraud in the U.S. and misrepresenting Huawei's relationship with a subsidiary doing business in Iran, violating U.S. sanctions. A second hearing on whether Canadian officials followed the law while arresting Ms. Meng is scheduled for next month. If the court does recommend extradition, Canada's federal justice minister would make the ultimate decision. The UK's National Cybersecurity Center announced it is conducting a new review of the impact of using Huawei telecom equipment in British 5G infrastructure. The UK previously ruled that Huawei equipment could be used outside of core network infrastructure, allowed to account for up to 35% of network equipment. According to an NCSC spokesperson, following the US announcement of additional sanctions against Huawei, the NCSC is looking carefully at any impact that could have on UK networks. Switzerland launched its Swiss COVID contact tracing app, the first to launch using Apple and Google's exposure notification API. Swiss COVID is being piloted among hospitals, key workers, civil servants, and the army. Public availability is expected mid-June. Meanwhile, India announced it will release the source code of its contact tracing app, which launched in early April. The Android app's source code will be published on GitHub, and a bug bounty program for the app was also announced. 9to5 Google obtained an internal build of Google Messages version 6.2, which includes support for end-to-end encryption for RCS messages. It's unclear from the build what the exact requirements are for using RCS end-to-end encryption, but it did show that in cases of poor connectivity, the app will offer to fall back to SMS or MMS with a warning that the messages aren't encrypted. The build also gives users control over whether other Android apps can see the content of the encrypted messages. The developer group Uncover released a tool to jailbreak iOS versions 11 through 13.5, the first jailbreak in years that works on the current iOS release. The jailbreak is able to be installed using the platform's Alt Store and Cydia, and the team claims it won't cause excessive battery drain, break Apple services, or undermine iOS security sandboxing with apps. According to Uncover, lead developer Pwn2Own, the jailbreak is built on a zero-day kernel vulnerability previously undisclosed to Apple, and security researchers speaking to Wired say it may take 2 to 3 weeks for Apple to release a patch. Finally, Google launched a limited pilot to use Google Assistant's voice match to secure restaurant orders and purchases made through Google Play. Users in the limited rollout will see the option in Google Assistant settings to confirm purchases with voice match. Google warns during setup that someone with a similar voice or recording may be able to confirm purchases on devices you're logged into. Google told Android Police that the feature has a limit on how much money can be spent. For more discussion of the tech news of the day, subscribe to DailyTechNewsShow.com. You can find show notes and links to all the headlines there as well. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.